I'd like to discuss, as Rav Aryeh did, part of the uniqueness of Chanukah, the uniqueness of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, that the Rambam describes with terminology which is unprecedented for the Rambam. He speaks about it as a mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od, a dear mitzvah. The only time that the Rambam uses such a phrase relating to any of the Teag mitzvos and the mitzvos d'Rabbanan within his Mishnah Torah. And the question is, what is so dear about Chanukah? Chaviva hi ma'od. I'll start with my starting off point, the first three makorot. I hope you all have a sheet of makorot. The first three makorot will sort of be a mantra one after the other. Gemara and Shabbos, number one, Isha vaday madlika. There's no question that a woman should light a Chanukiah. The Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim chayavot b'ner Chanukah. They are obligated. Sha'af hein hayu ba'oto hanes. They were also part of the miracle. Gemara in Pesachim, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim chayavot ba'arba koso talalu, the night of the Seder, af hein hayu ba'oto hanes of Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Dalet, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim chayavot b'mikra Megillah, sha'af hein hayu ba'oto hanes. Now we have these three mitzvot, the mitzvah of mitzvah midrabanan of Arba Kosos, the mitzvah midrabanan of Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah midrabanan of Mikra Megillah, that are considered to be exceptions to a rule. We have a rule that in general women are exempt from mitzvot asei shazman grama, mitzvot that are time oriented, that are built into a time related situation, mitzvot asei, positive commandments of that nature. And so according to the rule, women should be exempt from Arba Kosa, women should be exempt from Ner Chanukah, women should be exempt from Mikra Megillah. And we have over here that they are all brought in to the world via this principle of Af Hein Hayu Be'oto Hanes, that the rule that we have is a rule that relates to mitzvot midoraita, that relates to mitzvot in the Torah. But Tosos in the source number 4 points out that we have a principle called derabanan ke'en deoraita tikun, that any rules that affect dinim midoraita, that affect Torah commandments, affect also rabbinical commandments. So if midoraita women are exempt from mitzvot asei shazman grama, that they are exempt from shofar, they are exempt, certainly they can perform, but they're exempt from sukkah, exempt from arba minim. They should be exempt from these mitzvot rabbanan as well. And yet we have this exception because of afhein hayu ba'oto hanes. What exactly that phrase means, that's the following Tosfot in the fourth makor, that the Rashbam, the brother of Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam, who is one of the Balei HaTosfot, felt that afhein hayu ba'oto hanes means that they enabled the nes. They were those who were instrumental in bringing about the miracle. The role of Esther, the role of Yehudit in Chanukah, or that which is parallel to Chanukah, the role of Nashim Tzidkaniyot, who with their emunah brought about Yitziat Mitzrayim, that brings them into the obligation. Well, Tosfot himself, he disagrees with the Rashbam and feels that the language af hein hayu ba'oto hanes, they were also included, doesn't view them as the prime movers, even though that certainly may be true, but the reason that they are obligated is because they were in the same danger. They were in the same danger of destruction, physical destruction, spiritual destruction, and af hein hayu ba'oto hanes, they were redeemed along with Klal Yisrael, and therefore they are brought into the mitzvah. That is what is found in the Gemara. But we have to ask ourselves that there's a certain inconsistency that has to be addressed. Are these the only mitzvot that we have that recognize the world of miracles, that we can say af hein hayu ba'oto hanes? Don't we have a mitzvah, a chag, one of Shalosh Regalim, of Sukkot, to commemorate our 40 years in the wilderness? And if we look at the psukim in source number 5, Hamolichacha b'midbar hagadol v'hanora, the midbar was not a place for a nation to be able to survive normally. normative manner, in a natural manner, Hamidbar Hagadol v'Hanora Nachash Saraf Akrav Tzimaon Asher Ein Mayim Hamotzilacha Mayim Mitzur Chalamish Ma'achilcha Man Bamidbar. We lived a miraculous life. Think to yourselves, the Anei HaKavod, when they were removed for a few hours, and there was a plague of poisonous snakes. Think if that would have been their existence for 40 years. And so why are women then exempt from Sukkot? We should also say, Af hein hayu v'oto hanes. So Tosfos was bothered by this in source number 4 and says, no, this rule only applies to Drabanan. In the world of rabbinically enhanced mitzvot, in the world of rabbinic mitzvot, that's where you have the principle of Af hein hayu v'oto hanes, as opposed to those mitzvot midoraita. But that contradicts the previous Tosfot, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Ke'en Doraita Tikkun. We have a parallelism between a Doraita and a Drabanon. The same rules should apply. So if we have a principle of Apein Hayu Be'oto Hanes by a Drabanon, we should find a parallel principle on a Doraita plane. And even if they shouldn't be chayev in the mitzvah midoraita, so why shouldn't women be chayevet in Sukkah midrabanan? Apein Hayu Be'oto Hanes. And Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Bnei Tosfos, raises the question, what about Lecha Mishnah? And what about Suda Shlishit? These are Zecher to a Nes of Man. This is what we all ate in the Midbar. Not only men ate Man, women also ate Man. And without that Man, we would have starved to death. That's what we complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. How are we going to survive without food? And we have Dinim that relate to that Nes. Why, if women are also chayef, but not for the reason of Afen Hayu Be'oto Hanes, the Gemara has to search for other reasons. What happened to Afen Hayu Be'oto Hanes? Why is it limited to these three mitzvot of Pesach and of Chanukah and of Megillah? So that's what I'd like to talk to you about a bit tonight. What exactly is this meaning of Afen Hayu Be'oto Hanes? Again, Rashbam says it means that they were instrumental. Tosfos says that they were involved in the situation that required a nes, and that they were involved in the redemption. But there must be something more to it, and perhaps that more would give us a different level of understanding of Hanukkah, to explain why it's a mitzvah chaviva hi ma'od, and to speak to the men in the audience would relate to us as well, that it would impact on our kiyum hamitzvah if we were to understand the factor over here of afhen hayu b'oto hanes. And so we'll be a good Jew, and in order to answer question A, we will ask question B. Let's look for a moment at source number 6. Source number 6 is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Mem Zayin, Sif Yudalad, which politically is certainly very, very, very correct, but halachically is very perplexing. It's a four-word halacha. Nashim Mevarchot Birkat HaTorah. That women, when they learn Torah, and women should learn Torah, and women do learn Torah, they should make a bracha of Birkat HaTorah, that in the morning when we say Birkat HaShachar, when we have Birkat HaTorah, so the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber of Shulchan Aruch, paskins that women should make this bracha. Again, politically correct, but halachically is very problematic. Women, although, again, they're encouraged to learn Torah, they should learn Torah, but they are exempt from learning Torah. This is something they take upon themselves voluntarily. And the rule of the Sfaradim differs from that of the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim, our custom is like Rabbeinu Tam, that even when a woman is exempt from a mitzvah, let's say like sukkah, if she wants to sit in a sukkah, she makes a bracha, leishev basukkah. Even if she's exempt from hearing shofar, if she wants to, and the Jewish womanhood through the generations have taken upon themselves this obligation, they make a bracha. That is the direction of the Ashkenazim. But the Machaber of Shulchan Aruch, the author of these four words, Nashim Mevarchot Birkat HaTorah, was Rav Yosef Karo. He followed the Sfardi tradition. And in the Sfardi tradition, women do not make a bracha for a very good reason. The text of the bracha is Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav. Certainly women are Mekudashot via the mitzvot, but then it continues, Vitzivanu, and we were commanded. And if someone does something voluntarily, he's an eno mitzvah v'osa. He's not commanded. it's wonderful to do things voluntarily, but how can you speak about being commanded? There has to be an ethos of truth within the bracha system. And so the Sfardim say that if a woman sits in a sukkah, she does not make a bracha. If she takes arba minim, she does not make a bracha. So why over here is Talmud Torah an exception? I'm not the first one to ask the question. There is an answer already in the Rishonim. There's an Agur who gives an answer. And in the Achronim, it's famous Brisker Torah that's found in Ravelvel Sefer about how to answer the question. But I would like to answer the question perhaps in a different manner that will help us understand the Yuditius of Hanukkah. I'd like to use the world of Talmud Torah to help us understand a little better the world of lighting the Chanukiah, and that's the topic of tonight's Shiur, the concept of lighting and learning, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, that we have a certain intrinsic connection, and perhaps if we'll understand why women make a bracha on Talmud Torah, we could understand also the concept of Af Hein Hoyu Be'oto Hanes. So let me begin with a story. Many of you knew my father, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rabbi Israel Miller, and at a certain period of time in recent Jewish history, he was the president of the Conference of Presidents of Jewish Organizations in America. And during his tenure, there was a battle in Congress over, as is a perennial battle, over foreign aid to Israel, military aid to Israel. There was a question of fighter jets, and should Israel receive them, and increased military allotments. And of course the State Department was opposed in terms of American interests in the Middle East and Arab oil, etc. And there was a whole issue of how to deal with it. And so my father was invited to a television program that was called 60 Minutes to present the Jewish perspective on this issue. And the moderator was an individual named Mike Wallace, who was not a great friend of the Jewish people, although parenthetically he was a Jew. He invited my father. My father took up the challenge, and in a very, very improper manner, he said, "Rabbi," in other words, "you're a rabbi." And so maybe to begin the topic, you'll try to explain to us, what does it mean to be a Jew in America? Are you a Jewish American? Are you an American Jew? Namely, setting the trap for the issue of double loyalty. How do you view yourself? What is your center of interest? Are you really loyal to America, or are you loyal to Israel because of your Jewishness? And so my father gave, my humble opinion, a brilliant answer. He said, "Judaism isn't a noun, and it's not an adjective. We are not American Jews as a noun, nor are we Jewish Americans as an adjective. Judaism is a verb. Judaism means that we have commandments that we fulfill. We have to live a certain life. We have a certain mode of behavior. That is our religion." And in that way, he danced out of the trap and was able to answer the questions. But the concept of Judaism being a world of commandments, namely that we have a plethora of mitzvot. We live our life from the time we wake up in the morning by going through one action after another action after another action, that this is our lives. This is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we show that our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by, before each of these actions that is a mitzvah, we make a bracha. We make what's called the Birkat HaMitzvah. We're taking that act and putting it into a context, that this is what is going to create our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what's going to fill our lives with holiness. And these brachot, these Birkot HaMitzvah that we make, have rules. And we follow the rules as well. And one of the rules is that the only individual who is allowed to make a bracha is someone who is doing the mitzvah. Namely, I can't go to the sukkah and then call the rabbi and say, "Rabbi, would you mind making a bracha over the phone? So I'm leishay basukkah because I want to sit in the sukkah." The rabbi's in his car. It has nothing to do with my sitting in the sukkah. I have to make my bracha. If I'm sitting next to someone else, one of us can make the bracha for the two of us, but we're both sitting in the sukkah. But someone in the street can't make a bracha for me while I'm sitting in the sukkah. Rule number one. Rule number two is that the bracha has to be made before the act is done. That we have a concept of over la'asiyatan. I can't sit in a sukkah and then go out and then say, oh, I didn't make the bracha, now I'll make the bracha. The bracha has to precede the act. If we have these two elements, namely that the bracha is made by the person doing the mitzvah and the bracha precedes the mitzvah, that is the proper context of a birkat ha-mitzvah, with one exception in the Gemara. The Gemara says, in the world of immersion in a mikveh, tevilah, there the bracha succeeds the tevilah. And Tosfos explains, because one of those who makes the bracha on immersing in a mikveh is a ger. And he can't make a bracha before he immerses, he's a goy. A goy can't make a bracha, he's not a Jew, he can't say asher kedushan sub v'tzivanu. After he immerses, and he's now a Jew, then he can make the bracha. So that is the exception, and once we have one exception in the world of immersion, we say anyone who immerses in a mikveh, a woman who goes to the mikveh, when we do netilat yadayim, then we make a bracha after the act. But that's the only exception. All other mitzvos, irrelevant of in terms of whether we're eating matzah or we're lighting Hanukkah candles, we who do the mitzvah make the bracha, and we make it before we do the act. The problem is that the rule doesn't hold for all mitzvot. Look at source number 7. We have over there two brachot that are said at the time of a brit milah, at the time of a circumcision. One bracha, asher kedushan mitzvot zivanu al hamila. A second one, asher kedushan mitzvot zivanu lahachniso bebrito shel Avraham Avinu. The first bracha follows all the rules. The mohel, the one who's doing the mitzvah, makes the bracha, and he does it before he cuts off the orla. The second bracha, however, is made by the father. He's not involved in the mitzvah. He is a bystander. He is standing next to the milah. He makes the bracha, and he makes it specifically after, the custom of Ashkenazim is to make this bracha after the milah. So Tosfot was already bothered by this anomaly, and Rabbi Notam says, we have over here two different worlds. The first bracha is a birkat ha-mitzvah. That follows the rules. The second bracha is a birkat shevach v'hodaya, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are Jews. We thank Him that we are part of the covenantal community, as Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that we are part of the community of L'Hachniso Bivrito Shel Avram Avinu. We have a unique covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, and that can be made by anyone who is present at the milah. We give the kavod to the father, and that covenantal community continues after the act. And therefore, just like we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu shekocho gvuroto malei olam after we hear the thunder, and we thank Him osem ma'aseh bereshit after we see the lightning, I have to speak about it in theoretical terms because there's no rain and thunder tonight, although last year we had enough for 2 years. And so when we're dealing with a birkat shevach v'hodaya, that has a different set of rules. But then let's just continue. We have another bracha. We have a bracha of marriage. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav etzivonu al harayot asavanu et ha'arusot. That bracha is not made by the chasan. That bracha is made by the Mesader Kedushin. He's not getting married. He's already married generally, right? He's not a bigamist. He's not marrying 100 women, a different woman every night. And so what is he doing saying the bracha? And according to some Rishonim, the Ravid, that bracha is made only after the husband puts the ring on his wife's finger. I was once at a wedding of a Mesader Kedushin who was not very, it was his first time as Mesader Kedushin, and he was very nervous, and he told the chassan to put the ring, and he hadn't made the bracha. So I said, it's okay, you can make the bracha afterwards. There's such a shita in the Rishonim, the bracha can be afterwards. But why? So the Rush gives the same reasoning. Look at the text of the bracha. This is not a classic birkat ha-mitzvah. This is a birkat shevach v'hodaya over the institution of marriage. Thank God that we're Jews, that we have a concept of intimacy in the context of Kedusha, and we create a bond and a family unit, etc., etc. And so again, anyone can make that bracha if they're present at the ceremony, and it can be made even theoretically afterwards. But when we continue, we have another bracha. Asher kesham sosavet sivanu al hashkita. Al hashkita. This is a shochet, makes this bracha before he slaughters an animal. And we find in the Shulchan Aruch that let's say our shochet is mute. he can't talk, he can't speak. So the Shulchan Aruch says, so someone else who's around can make the bracha. We don't find that rule anywhere else. If I want to light Hanukkah candles and I can't say the bracha, so I don't say the bracha. So I light the candles without a bracha. So I'll sit in a sukkah without a bracha. If I can't utter the words, we don't tell someone else. We don't knock on the door of a neighbor and say, would you mind making a bracha al achilas matzah? Because I want to eat matzah. We don't say that in language. We don't say it in sign language. If I can't make a bracha, so I don't make a bracha. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch says that if the slaughterhouse has a terrible odor, and we know that a bracha requires an atmosphere of kedusha, so the shochet can check to the slaughterhouse and then walk outside and make a bracha. Who ever heard of such a thing? Avar zmano batal karbano. It's too late. It's already after the act. So as we would expect, there is someone who says, oh, we already have precedent. We already have mila. We already have kedushin. And that's what you find in source number 8. This is the Taz in Yoredeya. Those who learn smicha will probably at some point come across this Taz. Ela de b'shchita nira ta'amo de'acher mevarech shapir. It's fine if a stranger makes a bracha. The birkat shchita ain't a ba la shchita atzma. It's not a birkas hamitzvah. Ain't chiyuv b'shchita min orotze le'echol. Not everyone has to shecht. It's not an obligation on every individual to learn how to shecht. Ela ikara kavana latet shevach v'hodaya la'makom. That thank God that we have a wonderful world of kosher food, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu worries about our spiritual essence, and he gives us such a world. And Vaday Kol Yisrael Shayach Ba'ota Bracha, for everyone, you know, this is considered to be kosher meat, etc., etc. And he says, and look, this is the way Rabbeinu Tam understood the bracha of Lachniso Shabbos Avraham Avinu. This is the way the Rosh understood the Birkas Erusin. So this is how I'm going to explain the Birkat Shlita. The problem is the text, the language. When you're dealing with Lachniso Bebriso Shabbos Avinu, you can speak about that as becoming part of the covenantal community. When you have a bracha of Osar Lanu Asa Arusos Vehitir Lanu Asa Nesuos Adei Chupa L'Kedushin, you could say that this is a Birkat Shevach V'Hodaya. But Asher Kedushan Sosavet Sivano Al Hashchita, to turn that into a Birkat Shevach V'Hodaya, you have to stand on your head. That's not the framework of the bracha. So here Rav Soloveitchik, when he taught Yoredeya, he came up with a construct which I think is Emet La'amito, is A lot of what he said is emet l'amito, and this is another item that he said, that which is emet l'amito. He pointed out that we have two types of mitzvot in the world. We have those mitzvot that are pure acts of religious volition, that I do an act, and by doing that act, I become closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the be-all and end-all of the mitzvah. I eat matzah the night of Pesach. I sit in a sukkah. I listen to a shofar. That is the be-all and the end-all. However, there are mitzvos that the mitzvah creates a halachic status. The mitzvah creates what in Brisker terminology is called a chalot shem. For example, when a husband marries his wife, it's not just a mitzvah of marrying. He creates an eshet ish. He turns this woman who had been a single woman into a married woman. She now has a different status to the entire world. He has changed her halachic status. Or when a person shechs an animal, he has created kosher meat. I'm not comparing shchita to getting married. Or when a person is tovel in a mikvah, so a non-Jew turns into a Jew. Someone who was tamei, someone who had a status of tumah, turns into a status of Tahara. And Sarah Soloveitchik posited that there are those brachos that relate to the act, and there are those brachos that relate to the result of the act, to the status that was created. A bracha that relates to the act, like Leishev Basuka, like Al Achilas Matzah, that has to be said by the person doing the act, and that has to be said preceding the act. Then it gives a meaning to the act. But if you're making a bracha on the status that was created, that status relates to the entire world. This woman is now an eshet ish. Not just that she has a unique relationship with her husband, she has a different relationship with the entire world. she has, in other words, and so anyone can make that bracha because the status of this woman applies to everyone. And the covenantal community, that status of being a nimol, that person can now eat kodshim, can go into the Beit HaMikdash. Anyone can make that bracha, and that status continues to be made even afterwards. So, according to Rav Soloveitchik, all of these are really offshoots of the exception found in the Talmud. In the Talmud, it says that the rules apply to Birkot HaMitzvah except for Tevila. What is Tevila? Tevila, the bracha is on the result, not on the act. So anything which is similar to Tevila, so we have Tevila, and we have Shechita, and we have Mila, and we have Kiddushin, all of those are under this rubric of the bracha relating to the change of halachic status. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said when we learned Yoredeya. Then I was at a shiur that he gave at the Brit of one of Rav Uchtenstein's children. I think it was Shai. It was held in the Reuben cafeteria, and Rav Soloveitchik was the guest speaker as the grandfather, and he said, "Let's look at source number 9." He didn't say let's look at source number 9, but he said, "Let's look at the brachos that are found in source number 9." That when a person puts on tefillin, there are two brachot, lehaniach tefillin and al mitzvat tefillin. Normally, Ashkenazi Jews make one bracha on the shel yad, lehaniach tefillin, and when they put on the tefillin shel rosh, they make a second bracha. However, if someone cannot put on tefillin shel yad, let's say he doesn't have the tefillin shel yad, or he has it, but he has a cast on his arm, and he can't put on the tefillin shel yad, so then he makes two brachot on the tefillin shel rosh. Rav Soloveitchik asks, why in the world should he make two brachot on one act? He's only doing one act. It's shayach to have one bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, this is a continuity of what I spoke about earlier, taking it one step further. The first bracha, the haniach, in terms of the terminology, is a verb. It's on the act. It's on the act of putting on tefillin shel rosh, and putting on tefillin shel yad. But something else happens when a person puts on tefillin shel rosh. There's a bracha al mitzvat tefillin, that a person who puts on tefillin shel rosh is transformed. He becomes a different individual. He has a different status. Ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yar'u mimecha. He has a status of kedusha, which is even felt by a non-Jew who sees him. He realizes this is a person who has a degree of holiness. The Gemara speaks about karkafta delomanach tefillin, a person whose avera list includes the fact that he is not putting on tefillin, as being a certain spiritual basement. This individual, he's hit rock bottom, namely that this person is missing an aspect of that which would give him a full tselem Elokim. For those of you who dabble in Kabbalah, so you know that we have 10 sfirot, and these sfirot are given parallels to the body of an individual. We have a sphere of chesed, which is parallel to a right arm, a sphere of vura, parallel to a left arm. We have a sphere also of chokhmah, and that sphere of chokhmah relates to a head with tefillin. Namely, that the tefillin becomes part and parcel of the Jew. It becomes part and parcel of the body. So Soloveitchik says, just like we can have a bracha that relates to a halachic status of something which is outside of you, can have a bracha that relates to a change, a transformation within the individual. And here's where we can return to Birkas HaTorah. That a number of years ago, I suggested that perhaps according to the Rav's construct, we can apply this to the world of Birkas HaTorah as well. Look at source number 10, the language of Birkas HaTorah. Ha'arev na Hashem Elokeinu. That this is a bracha kulono yodei shemecha. This is a bracha asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. Namely, that learning Torah is not just an act of opening a book and reading, or of studying in one's mindset. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos speaks about shlosha ketarim heim, that there are three crowns that exist in the Jewish people: keter Torah, keter kohuna, v'keter malchut. Keter kohuna and keter malchut means that a Jew has been transformed to a different plane. And when you have a king, So Shmuel told Shaul, "Vayita leish acher." Don't think that this is just a profession; that this is a task that you are performing. You're going to raise yourself in terms of your personality. You're going to become someone else. When the Kohen Gadol is anointed with Shemen HaMishra, he is no longer the same individual as he was earlier. He now has a keter, parallel to tefillin. The Tosfos points out, Kol ha'osek v'torah k'miniach tefillin, just as hanachat tefillin changes the nature of the individual, transforms the individual, learning Torah transforms the individual. He becomes more sensitive. He becomes more ethical. He becomes more moral. If he is learning properly, that's what, there's a transformation in terms of his personality. As an aside, anyone who had any contact with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Harini Kaparat Nishkavo, knows what I'm talking about. When you see someone who's immersed in Torah and you see that his persona is of a different nature, he is somewhat removed from the classic way that we view the human race. He rose above. And so that is what the bracha is referring to. Just like we have within the world of tefillin a bracha that relates to the transformation, so also in the world of Torah, that people become yodei shemecha. People become part of that asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. And that applies to anyone who learns, be he obligated or be he not obligated, be he a man or be he a woman. And therefore, the Machaber would say, Nashim mevarchot birkat ha-Torah, that we have this concept of a bracha, not on the act, but on the transformation. So if I could just summarize where we're holding up to this point, and then we'll move back to the world to the world of Afenayu Ba'oso Ba'otohanes. What we've seen is that we have those mitzvot that are pure acts of religious behavior. As my father spoke about Judaism as a verb, eating matzah, sitting in a sukkah, that's one category of mitzvah. We have those mitzvot that, in addition to being acts of religious behavior, are also create a halachic status. Kedushin, tvila, mila, shchita. We've seen that there are those mitzvot that, in addition to creating or to being acts of religious behavior, also transform the individual. Tefillin transforms the individual. Learning Torah transforms the individual. Perhaps there is also one more category of mitzvot that, in addition to being an act of religious behavior, will also have a different aspect, something that we haven't yet discussed, that's moving one step further, and that would include our mitzvot of Afhen Hayu Ba'oto Hanes. If you look, continue in the source sheet to number 11. Number 11 is a Rambam in Hilchot Chagiga. Chagiga is classically a unique burnt offering that was brought specifically on the Shalosh Regalim. What in the world does this have to do with Ner Hanukkah? So in the third perek of Hilchot Chagiga, the Rambam deals with a mitzvah that was done once every 7 years. This year was what was the cycle of the once every 7 years, and many of you are aware that there was a zecher to this mitzvah. This mitzvah only applies in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, in the time when we have a king, but the concept is still spoken of. What is this mitzvah? Mitzvah asei lehakil kol Yisrael, to gather klal Yisrael anashim, vinashim, vitaf, to gather all klal Yisrael b'chol motza'ei shmita, that every year, every time we hit the end of the shmita year, ba'alotam laregel, klal Yisrael should gather together in the Beit HaMikdash, v'likro ba'aznehem, and the king reads in their ears, min ha'Torah, parshiyot shehen mezarzot otan b'mitzvot, u'machaskot yideihem b'dat ha'emet, and the Rambam quotes the source text. And the source text mentions black and white, Hakela ta'am ha'anashim v'hanashim. Now, you can't think of a time-related mitzvah more than a mitzvah that occurs once every seventh year, specifically on the end of the Shemitah year during Sukkot. And yet, women are chayavot. That goes against the rules. The rule is that a mitzvah aseh shazman grama on a Doraita plane, certainly, women are exempt. And here the Torah specifically involves the women. So the Gemara was bothered by this question, and the Gemara said, Ein lemeidin min haklalot. Rules are made to have exceptions. Okay, that's very nice, but the Gemara doesn't explain why this is an exception, but the Rambam does. Look at the continuity of the Rambam. I'm moving from halacha aleph to vav, but I just didn't put in all the halachos in between. In halacha hey, it says that the Torah was read in Hebrew. Now, Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, and you, I know I could have given this year in Hebrew, but I'm just giving English because it's a little easier for me. But you all understand Hebrew. You would understand the Torah if it was written in Hebrew. But if there are those among us who are gerim, who are relatively new to Judaism, they may not know Hebrew. So the Rambam says, "V'gerim she'enan makirin chayavin lahachin libam." They have to do their best lahakshiv aznam lishmoa. They have to try, even though they don't understand the words, to try and get a sense of what is going on and listen to the adjectives that the Rambam relates to: ve'ema, v'yira, v'gila, v'gila bira'ada. Does this remind you of something? These are adjectives that are used at what occasion? Matan Torah. Kiyom shenitna bo besinai. Namely, that they are supposed to close their eyes and feel as though they are at Ma'amad Har Sinai. That the king represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are receiving the Torah at Ma'amad Har Sinai. And so Rambam continues, Afilu chachamim gedolim shiyodim kol HaTorah kula. That's of course so. If you have over there individuals who know everything, namely they're not picking up anything new from what the king is reading. They know their mother said Rishnai Mikrobiyakha Targum. They know all the Perushim, etc. Chayavim Lushmoa Bikavana Gidola Yitera, because this isn't an intellectual exercise. Umish eino yochol lishmoa. Let's say someone like myself getting a little older, a little hard of hearing, mechavein libo lekriyazo. I would have to concentrate, listen, push myself up front to listen to the king. Because the whole purpose of Hakel is to serve as Yireh Atzmo, ki ilu ata nitztav eba umipi hagvura shoma. That we have a mitzvah, which basically is experiential in nature. That a person is supposed to feel that he is recreating Ma'amad Har Sinai, that he is present at that recreation, and to put himself in the shoes of his great, great, great grandparents, his ancestors, Shehamelech Shaliyachu Lahashmiya Divrei Hakel. And so just as the Chachamim Gedolim would not miss Ma'amad Har Sinai, they should not miss this Ma'amad as well. And that's why women are chayavot, because they were also at Ma'amad Har Sinai. Ko tomar lebeit Yisrael. This is an af hein hayu ba'oto hanes. Here we have a mitzvah which, in addition to its being an act that has a religious aspect to it, is also meant to bring people to an experiential level of a recreation of that which was, ki'ilu ata nitztavaba, as though currently you are present at Ma'amad Har Sinai. Yireh Atzmo ki'ilu ata nitztavaba. The question is, does this go any further? Is this a one of a kind? Let's look at the Rambam in number 12, Hilchot Chametz Umatza. Deals with mitzvot aseh shel Torah l'saper b'nisim v'nifla'ot shenasu l'avotenu b'mitzrayim v'leil chamisha asar b'nisan. We have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, the night of the 15th of Nisan. And within that mitzvah, we also have the Higara Talabincha that we're supposed to teach our children. And then the Rambam continues in the third line in the middle, V'af alpi she'en lo ben. What if a person doesn't have a son? Afilu chachamim gedolim. Again, if you put into the computer these three words, Afilu chachamim gedolim, it'll come out twice in the Rambam. It'll come out in Hilchot Chagiga, and it'll come out here in Hilchot Chametz Umatzah. Chayavim l'saper. So we would expect, why would the Chachamim Gedolim be Chayavim L'saper? So that which we expect, we find black and white in the Rambam. The next paragraph, B'chol Dor V'Dor, Chayav Adam L'Harot Et Atzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Be'atzmo Yatza Ata. Look back in Hilchot Chagiga, Yireh Atzmo Ki'ilu Ata Nitztavaba. Namely, that this mitzvah of Hakel, which is a Da'oraita, has a derivative, has a parallel within the world of the night of the Leil HaSeder. That night, it's not enough to go through the motions. It's not enough to even be transformed in terms of our level of holiness. We have to re-experience the Exodus. We have to re-experience the Geula. Chayav Adam laharot et atzmo ki'ilu hu ba'atzma yatsa atam yishibud Mitzrayim. That's what the pasuk says. Va'otanu hotzi misham. Va'al dover zetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'Torah v'zacharta ki eved hayita klomar ki'ilu ata ba'atzmacha hayita eved v'yatzata l'cherut v'nifdeita. And so we would expect then the continuity to be exactly what we find in the Rambam. Who should be involved in this mitzvah? Who would be obligated in this mitzvah of recreating history? Anyone who was in that situation. Lefikach, kishesoed adam b'layla hazeh, tzarech leachol v'lishtot v'hu meisev derech cherut, v'kol echad v'echad, bein anashim, bein nashim, chayav lishtot b'layla hazeh, arba kosot shalyayim. We've returned to the afhein hayu b'oto hanes. But what we've done is we've redefined it, or we've added a factor. It's not enough simply that historically we relate to this, because once upon a time our nation was in danger, and once upon a time HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled us out, but rather we see from the world of Hakel that there are those mitzvot that have this experiential element that creates the framework of the mitzvah, and then anyone who was involved has to recreate. Anyone who was at Mamad Har Sinai has to recreate Mamad Har Sinai. Anyone who was in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, men and women, have to recreate this Exodus by drinking four cups of wine. That's the same of Geula. Now the Rambam didn't make this up. The Rambam found this, as we all know, in the text of the Haggadah itself. The Rambam is simply quoting from the Haggadah. Kol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. And in the Haggadah we say, Lo et avotenu bilvad ga'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ela af otanu ga'al imahem. That the same proof text, Otanu hotzi misham, lefikach, and therefore now we have to recreate this in our own mindset. We have to recreate this in terms of our consciousness. V'lomar lefan of shira chadasha. Shira chadasha means that we have to say a shira tayam. We have to recreate. We have to say every year we are going through the experience again. Every year is going to be a shira chadasha. Now what we would hope is that maybe this should follow through to Hanukkah, and maybe this should follow through to Mikra Megillah, and then we have solved our issue. We have seen why we have this category of Afhein Hayu Ba'oto Hanes specifically in these areas, and that's what we do find in the Rambam. And that's text number 14 and 15. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Adma'o. That's where we began. Mitzvah of Chanukah is unique. It's dear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks forward to our kiyum of Ner Chanukah. V'tzarech Adam lehi zoher ba. Why? Kedei lehodia hanes ulehosif b'sheva chakel v'hodoya lo al hanisim she'asa. We would expect him to say la'avotenu. No. Al hanisim she'asa lanu. Namely that at Chanukah, when we light the candle, we are recreating the victory over the Yevanim. We have to put ourselves into that status. And therefore, anashim v'nashim. This is part of the Afein Hayu Be'oto Hanis. And if even Ein Lo Mashiyocha Lo Menatzdaka Shalom Marcha Ksuto, you have to be part of Klal Yisrael. A person has to do everything possible to recreate the history, to live the Nes again. And that's the concept of Afein Hayu Be'oto Hanis. Now it starts with the Deoraita and called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Deoraita Tikkun. We have the mitzvah of Hakel in the Torah, and this is recreated by the Rabbanon in Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim, Arba Kosos. It's recreated by the Rabbanon in Halakas Ner Chanukah, and we find a fascinating source in terms of Megillah. The Rambam, in his introduction to the Yada Chazaka, begins, as you would expect the Rambam to begin, in a very, very logical manner. He says, I want to take all of Tariag Mitzvos, and I want to divide them into categories. I'm going to have a Sefer Hamada, and a Sefer Ha'ava, and a Sefer Zmanim. I'm going to have all these format, and I'm going to put into each Sefer the Mitzvos that are relevant to that Sefer. How can I do that? First, I'm going to have a list of all Terag mitzvahs. And that's how he begins. He has a list of all the mitzvahs, and then he says, and now I'm going to divide them into books. And he says, these mitzvahs belong in Sefer Mada, Talmud Torah, and Tshuva, and Isra Avodah Zarah. And these mitzvahs belong in Zmanim, Shabbos, and Yom Tov, and etc., etc. But before the Rambam did that, he said, but I have to add also the mitzvahs to Rabbanan. I just can't deal with the D'oraisa. I have to put the mitzvahs to Rabbanan in as well. And he says that maybe you'll say, just a minute, how can there be mitzvahs to Rabbanan? Don't we have a world of Baal Tosif that we're not allowed to add mitzvahs? So the Rambam says, no, that means we can't add mitzvahs. But if Chazal made mitzvahs and specifically said that they are Drabanan, that's fine. Because Chazal had a reason. And he gives one example. Chazal had a reason for Mikra Megillah. And that's what you have in the last source on the page. Elakach anu omrim, shehanuviyim im beitin tiknu v'tzivu likrot Megillah ba'onata, that this is what Esther asked the Sanhedrin, asked the Anshei Knesset HaGdola of her time, to set up a mitzvah to read Megillah every year, ba'onata, on the 14th or the 15th, kidei lahazkir shvachos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu tshuot she'asa lanu. Again, not she'asa la'avotenu, she'asa lanu. That we have to recreate this nes in our own lives. Hayakarov l'sha'avatenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillot. Kidei levarcho ulehalalo ukidei lehodiya ledorot habaim emet ma'ashiv tachtanu betorah. Chazal set up a festival midrabanan to teach us that the Torah is true. The Torah tells us that when you cry out to God, He'll listen. In the time of Esther, Klal Yisrael cried out to God and He listened. Mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. So we have over here then a world of Avein Hayu Ba'oto Hanes, that we have a category of experiential mitzvot. How do we know which are this category? Chazal made it very easy. For each mitzvah, they added a bracha. They added a bracha, she'asa lanu nisim la'avoseinu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. They added that bracha in Mikra Megillah. They added that bracha in Hanukkah. And in terms of Leil HaSeder, that's the bracha that we were reading before. L'fikach anachnu chayavim lahodot ulehalel ulekales asher asa lanu et kol hamitzvot ha'elu v'nomar lefanav shira chadasha, namely that we have the mitzvah, this bracha of Goal Yisrael, that serves to say that this is an experiential mitzvah. So in this world puts a tremendous onus on all of us, namely not only women but men, that it's not enough to light the Chanukiah, but rather to, as we light the Chanukiah, to experience, to re-experience, to feel deep within us that our life is simply built on Nisim, that we are living one huge Nes, that this is the nature of Chanukah. Mitzvah chaviva hi ma'od, even more than Purim. Purim is one day, 8 days. For even above Derech HaTeva, beyond the week, we're going to remember night after night that we're living a nes. Our life is a nes. Our life is a nes. Our life is a nes. That is the essence of the mitzvah. That's what brings women into the mitzvah, because they're part of that nes. They're part of the nes, not just historically, but currently. I'd just like to end off with a story. And the story is not my story, but it's a story that Yaffa Eliach writes in her book, Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. I photostated, for anyone who wants to take it afterwards, I photostated a page of the main part of the story. The story is over 3 pages. I photostated 2 pages. The first page deals with the story relates to the title of the story is The First Hanukkah Light in Bergen-Belsen. And the first page relates to the day of Hanukkah, the day preceded Hanukkah, where there was a terrible selection. We do not have to read to understand what a selection meant, a random selection meant in Bergen-Belsen. And then Hanukkah came, and it was time to light the Hanukkah lights. A jug of oil was not to be found. No candle was in sight. Chanukiah belonged to distant path. Instead, a wooden clog, shoe of one of the inmates, became a Chanukiah. Strings pulled from a concentration camp uniform, a wick, and the black camp shoe polish, that was the oil. And the Rav that was there was the Blues of a Rav. And the Blues of a Rav was able to chant the brachot, and when he was about to chant the third bracha of Shechianu, he stopped, looked around, And then he said Shehachiyanu. And one of the people present was a Bundist. I can't even pronounce his name. Zamet Tchaikovsky, Mashu Kazeh. He was a leader of the Warsaw Bund. And he was a very intelligent individual and never missed an opportunity for a debate, even in Bergen-Belsen. And so he turned to the Beluzer Rebbe and said, look, I understand you. You're a religious Jew. It's very important for you to keep your traditions. So you lit the Hanukkah candle. I understand. And you made a Birkas HaMitzvah. That I understand. And She'os HaNisim, you made a historical bracha. But how in the world can you make a Shehachiyanu V'Kiyemanu V'Giyanu Lazman HaZeh when we look around? Just look around. How can you say that? And the Beluzer Rebbe answered him, you're 100% correct. When I reached the third bracha, I also hesitated. And I asked myself, what should I do with this blessing? And I turned my head in order to ask the Rav of Zaner or the other distinguished rabbis who were standing near me if indeed I'm allowed to recite the bracha. But just as I was turning my head, I noticed that behind me a throng was standing, a large crowd of living Jews, their faces expressing faith, devotion, and concentration as they were listening to the rite of the kindling of the Hanukkah candles. And I said to myself, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a nation at times like this, when in front of the lighting of the Hanukkah candles they see in front of him the bodies of their brothers, their fathers, their sons, and death is looking at them from every corner, if despite all that they can listen with devotion to She'osa Nisim La'avoseinu Bazman HaZeh, then I am under special obligation to say She'achiyanu V'kiyemanu V'giyanu L'zman HaZeh. Namely, that experience of feeling that your life is a nes, that's what the Beluzer Rebbe said he experienced in Bergen-Belsen. That's what he saw in the eyes of the inmates, that they believed with all of their existence that a nes is possible and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can pull them out of this situation currently, that their life, their continued life is a nes. If they could feel that in Bergen-Belsen, then it should not be difficult for us to feel that on a day-to-day plane when we're lighting our Hanukkah candles in Baruch Hashem, in Yerushalayim, in Efrat, in Alon Shvut. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. A nes, a nes, a nes. This is the concept of Afein Hayu Ba'oto HaNes. Thank you.